Hello and welcome to Coffeehouse Shots, the Spectator's politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. The campaigning continues for the 2017 general election, but the parties are still reluctant to be too specific about their policy ideas. Theresa May was cautious not to overcommit herself on tax policy, but appeared to rule out any increase in VAT over the next 5 years. Here she is talking to Robert Peston.
We had John McDonnell sitting just where you are a couple of minutes ago, and he was very explicit that for those that they see as above middling incomes, they want to put taxes up. Given what you say your record as a party is on taxes, do you need to repeat David Cameron's triple lock, no rise in VAT, no rise in income tax, no rise in national insurance? Do you need to repeat that?
Well, I'm clear that we have no plans to raise the level of tax. Mm.
What does the level mean? I'm not sure
well,
what that means.
In relation to specific taxes, we won't be increasing VAT, but what I do want to ensure is that we are able to have
so
the strong...
You definitely won't raise VAT. That's 100% that's commitment.
But what I want to do is to ensure that when we do look more widely at the tax system, that what we say on the tax system, we're absolutely clear we can deliver on it for people. And also, as I say, I want to see us able to reduce taxes on working families. And that can only be done with strong and stable leadership. It can only be done with a strong and stable government building that stronger economy.
But it does sound to me that what really matters to you, apart from VAT, is the sort of overall burden of taxation rather than micromanaging at this stage individual tax rates.
Well, I think it's important that we look at that overall burden of taxation. As I say, my instinct, and what I absolutely want to do is to be able to reduce taxes on working families. But we are only able to do any of this if we build that strong economy. And that's why it's important to have that strong and stable government that can deliver on that strong economy. I think Jeremy Corbyn's economic policies are nonsensical. I think they just don't add up.
The Shadow Chancellor, John McDonnell, also made an appearance on Peston's show. McDonnell elaborated on his pledge to scrap zero-hours contracts, a return of a policy advocated by Ed Miliband in 2015.
Now, there are some people in Britain who like the flexibility of not being tied to a formal contract. Are you going to say that they simply can't have... Let's just say they want zero-hours contracts. Are you saying they simply can't have them?
If you look at what all the various pieces of research, most people want to ensure that they have the hours guaranteed, and you can negotiate then with your employer any additional hours and you can come to a reasonable agreement. There'll always be some who need some special preferences, obviously, but we still want to ensure that people have guaranteed hours and they're negotiated properly and wages match those hours as well. It's not asking for the earth, you know, and the way it's balanced at the moment is that people can't tell what hours they're working, don't know what income's coming in, they're falling back on debt, and as I say, in some instances, this growth in dependence on food banks is unacceptable in, what, the sixth richest country in the world?
For one party leader, the outcome of this election is not in doubt. Tim Farron has said that May is heading for a colossal coronation at the polls.
At the moment, the Prime Minister has chosen to have a general election on her terms because she assumes an enormous majority. And around the country, there are very few people, I think, including myself, who expect anything other than Theresa May to be in 10 Downing Street on the 9th of June. And the question is, will she be properly opposed? It cannot be by Jeremy Corbyn and the Labour Party.
This, because you have said also that you wouldn't do a coalition deal either with Theresa May or with Jeremy Corbyn. Now, if you want to affect the way the government behaves after this election when it comes to Brexit, you want maximum leverage. And you seem to be saying, yeah, but I'm going to throw away any possible lever I might have, however well I do.
I think the most important thing for a leader is clarity. Clarity, yes. Number one, is to be honest with you and everybody else. We all know it's the truth that the Prime Minister is heading for a colossal coronation on the 8th of June. Clarity point number two, so let's not pretend there's going to be any hung parliament.
A colossal coronation.
That's how it looks to me. And she expects the British people to turn up in their Sunday best and to wave the flag. That is not how a democracy works, and we're determined to turn the coronation she expects into a contest that Britain desperately needs. The second reason we've been very clear that we'll not be having a coalition with Labour or the Tories is because I want people to look at the Liberal Democrats and realise when they vote for us, they're not voting for us as a proxy for anything else. They're voting for the Liberal Democrats' plan to invest in health and social care, to invest in education, and to make sure that Britain does not head off the cliff edge of a hard Brexit, that the British people have the final say, not the politicians.
You sound to me that at the beginning of this campaign you have, in effect, given up. It's all Theresa May's. We might as well walk away
well,
pick up our business
afterwards. Well, we're the only people not walking away. So Jeremy Corbyn appears to be fighting the next Labour leadership election. The Labour Party are fighting amongst themselves and have given up on the job of opposing the government. Britain desperately needs a strong, decent opposition for the sake of democracy. You don't need to agree with me on everything to agree with me that Britain needs a strong opposition and the Liberal Democrats are determined to provide it.
Now, if you want to be leader of that opposition, then you need to go from 8 seats to, what, 130 seats? It would be the biggest change in the Liberal Democrats' fortunes in living memory. In memory of any kind. Historians would be struggling to find any parallel. And a lot of people listening to what you say about the coronation and looking at the polls and say, this is a complete fantasy. Tim Farron might want to believe it briefly, as he's shaving first thing in the morning, but nobody else will.
Well, I mean, I think I'm probably one of those self-aware politicians. I'm aware of all the things that you say. I'm also aware that a week ago, the two main parties in France came third and fifth. These are times when politics in the Western Hemisphere, at least, has never been more unpredictable. This is also an election that Theresa May has chosen not to get a mandate. She doesn't need a mandate. And how can you have a mandate on something that's not been written yet anyway, the deal? But it is an election, nonetheless, that could absolutely change the course of British political history. If you cannot be ambitious at this point to allow those millions of people who are appalled by the direction the Prime Minister is taking us in, not just out of Europe, but out of the single market, without the British people having the final say, if you want to prevent the calamity of that hard Brexit, you have one option. It is the Liberal Democrats, and you need to take it.
Just as Tim Farron is resigned to a Conservative victory, so is the Shadow Foreign Secretary resigned to keeping Trident. Speaking to Sophie Ridge, Emily Thornberry stated that she accepted the will of the party, but that the nuclear deterrent was not a top priority.
On Trident, another issue that Labour has been wrestling with, I think it's fair to say, for years. I'm interested in your personal view as Shadow Foreign Secretary, because I kind of feel I'm still slightly muddy on what it is. Jeremy Corbyn says, effectively, he doesn't agree with renewing Trident, even though it's a party position. The party says that they think that Trident should be renewed. What do you think, personally?
I think that the party has decided that we continue to renew Trident and the decision has been made, and generally the public seems to be in favour of us having a nuclear deterrent.
What's your view, though?
I think that we need to look at 21st century threats, and I don't think that Trident is a top priority for me. I think that the biggest threat from Russia is things like, well, cyber attacks. I mean, I was saying this a year ago. You know, actually, the cyber capability of Russia is in terms of 21st century threat, that's a more immediate problem for us, you know, and the way in which they try to undermine democracy in the West through their propaganda, through funding all sorts of organisations. That is the way in which, actually, this is the modern stuff.
So you personally disagree, then, with the party policy on Trident?
I'm not getting involved in any more fights about this. You know, party policy is party policy. My view is that we should not take our eye off the main game, which is that the real threat from Russia is actually much more modern, much more subtle, much more nuanced and real now.
And finally, in what must be a relief to Nicola Sturgeon, Alex Salmond has clarified that he does not think this general election is all about independence, but rather about backing the Scottish Parliament.
Just finally, Mr. Salmond, is this general election about independence, as you say it is, or not about independence, as Mrs. Sturgeon says it is?
No, I've said exactly the same as Nicola Sturgeon on that. I mean, the issue of independence will be decided in a national referendum of the Scottish people. The mandate for that referendum was gained in last year's Scottish elections. What this election is about is backing the right of the Scottish Parliament to exercise that mandate and also providing real opposition to this Tory government, and, of course, allowing the Scottish Parliament to resist austerity and some of the public expenditure cutbacks that you've been talking about. That is what this election's about, backing our Scottish Parliament.
That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.